Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's the Internet of Things, the Internet of Healthy Things.
And if all this health is making you sick, we'll teach you how to do your own surgery.
And if you have a bunch of gift cards sitting around, I have an app for you.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Eero. Why settle for just a Wi-Fi router when you can have a brilliant, hyper-fast, super-simple Wi-Fi system? No more buffering, no more dead zones, finally Wi-Fi that works. To get Eero, visit EEERO.com or Best Buy or Amazon today. I'm calling it Hi OS Today. Leo Laporte. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Leo Laporte.
The show where we cover iPhones, iPads, Apple Watches, even Apple TVs, anything with iOS in it.
Mm-hmm.
And today you picked something I think is very important for all of us.
Healthy gadgets.
Yeah.
So stuff. Because if you can't just go out and go for a run, if you need a little motivation, like a device to get you started on your journey towards health, we've got some devices for you.
You have to start with the Apple Watch, which has become, with version 2, really kind of, I think, the best of all of the fitness bands.
Mm-hmm.
It has GPS in it. Its heart rate is more accurate. I've tried them all. Its heart rate's the most accurate, at least for me. If you have some people say if you have tattoos or dark skin or a lot of hair, it might not work as well. But I get great results with it. So this is a great health device. The fact that, you know, I notice I can share my activities rings with you and you with me is a great motivator. Our friend Renee Ritchie sends us donuts whenever we do well.
Yes.
And I yell at him.
He sends me pizza.
Oh, well, it's all the same.
But Allison Sheridan, also, I share my activity with her from Podfeet, and she is, she's sort of a negative motivator. Like,
she's
could do better than that. She
yells
like,
at you.
Kind of, yeah.
That's mean.
Like, you're dangerously close to reaching your goal today, or something like that. And then I tried it back at her, and I was like, oh, you're going to be in second place, and then immediately felt bad and texted her and said, I'm sorry, that was rude. She laughed.
There's a lot of drama going on in people's Apple Watches that you just don't really see.
The other thing about my activity goal is, you know, we're moving offices around here, and I used to be right next to the bathroom and the kitchen, and now I moved all the way away from your office down to the end. I said, put me as far away from Leo as possible. I'm just kidding.
I did notice because I came out of my office today and I said, Maroney! And Kara Cole looked at me and said, what?
I don't jump
She's
like
not
she
not here
does.
Anymore.
But I reached my goal just from walking to the kitchen and the bathroom. Like,
you need a better goal. That's not a measure of your activity.
No.
That's a measure of the patheticness of your goal.
Maybe it is.
You should up your goal.
I did up it. It was 400. Now it's 405.
I do 500 calories a week. A day. I guess it's a day.
Yeah, a day.
A week.
500 a week.
Can I show you? So some of these are like that. They're just motivators. They help you. They don't have a strong medical impact. Some of the things we're going to show you, actually, your doctor might even say to you, you should get one of these and tell us. Most of them are not FDA approved. And your doctor, you should consult with your doctor before you use these. I think that they're accurate, but he or she may not accept the readings from them, not knowing whether they're FDA certified. You know, your scale isn't FDA approved, is it?
Mm-mm.
And in fact, scales vary a lot. A home bathroom scale may not match the one at the gym, which may not match the one at the doctor's. But the idea is you have a relative measure. You understand it's not the measurement. It's a relative measurement. And so you have a way of saying, well, today I gained. It may not be my exact weight, but I gained.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you should treat some of these like that. This one, though, however, is FDA approved. What do you think that does?
I don't know. Do you stick it on your forehead and it reads your thoughts?
No, this is called the Cardia. It's from AliveCore. And this is, remember Vic Gundrotra? Maybe you don't, from Google Plus. But he created this or works at this company. And they took the trouble, the time, and the expense to get it medically approved. This is going to do an electrocardiogram. It does it very quickly. You put your thumbs on it just like that. And the reason I know about this, besides reading about it when Vic went there, is our own Jeff Jarvis, who has AFib. which is not necessarily a heart attack, but it can be very dangerous. His heart starts to race, and he wants to monitor his EKG, and his doctor wants him to. He's been in the hospital for it, and so his doctor suggested, I think, that he get this, and you can actually send these EKGs to your doctor and say, am I in fibrillation, or am I normal, or, you know, what's going on? So let me log in. I have to actually log in. This, because it's FDA approval, you know, approved, they're fairly serious about this. For instance, the first time you use it, before you can use it again, you have to send your EKG to a physician. And the physician will read it at their company, will read it and then say, okay, the first time you use it, you send your EKG in. It says the following detectors are enabled in ECG recordings. I guess it's ECG, electrocardiogram, of 30 seconds or more. Normal, AFib, or unreadable. So if you have been diagnosed with ventricular flutter, ventricular bigeminy, or ventricular trigeminy, we recommend turning off the unreadable recording option in your settings. All of this, I don't really know. This is why you want to consult a physician. I could show you the first one that I did send off, but this is an actual reading from my heart. What you're going to get, of course, is the heart rate, the heartbeat, but you also get the heart rate. And you can see that can be sent off. You tap to share this, to email this to your physician, or you can pay for a reading from them. So should we add a reading? Let me show you how easy this is. I have a normal sinus rhythm. Sounds like I do too, doesn't it? All right. I'm going to your most recently. So let's see. Create entry, add a note, optional, save. All right, you ready? iOS today. Okay. And then save that. Connect to health. Okay. Oh, Lord. And I can also record manually other stuff, or you can get a blood pressure cuff or that kind of thing. So, your cardiac rhythm is stable and does not require immediate evaluation if you have many medical symptoms, blah, blah, blah. So they'll give you a report, and then you can either call your doctor or you can actually send these directly to your doctor. So let's record right now. All right. So it's going to access the microphone. This is what's kind of wild. To start recording, place your fingers on the electrodes and hold until the recording is finished. During the recording, tell us about any symptoms you're feeling.
Doctor, I'm feeling terrible right now. Maybe I'm stressed. I feel woozy. Is everything okay?
You see, it's got my heart rate, which is 97 beats per minute. So obviously I am a little stressed. We're in the middle of a television show, right? And this is actually it's recording via audio, apparently, my heart rate.
Audio?
Well, because you have to make sure the microphone's turned on. I'm not sure.
It's a
Bluetooth?
Too?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. So there it is. No abnormalities were found. But you can then have a clinician review it. For a more comprehensive response, $20 within 24 hours. A one-hour response, $9. And that's whether it's reviewed by a cardiologist or a cardiotechnician. Or you can email it to your physician. Now, in order to do that, you do have to set up an account with Cardia, and it goes through a LiveCore. So I should point out that some people may be concerned privacy-wise, but I'm sure a LiveCore, with FDA approval, I'm sure a LiveCore is doing all the proper HIPAA things to protect yourself. So this is not something people, I mean, if you're a hypochondriac, you could really drive yourself crazy with this. I'm not saying run out and get this, but if you have had heart problems before, or if your physician says, I'd really like to keep track, you could do ECGs, electrocardiograms at home, and this is FDA approved. This is a LiveCore. It's really interesting.
How much does it cost?
Under $100.
And that's would insurance cover it if it's
It might. I don't
FDA
know. You should
approved?
Check with your insurance coverage, but I think that's one of the reasons FDA approval is important. It also comes with a little thing you can clip it into, so you can, and then you can actually glue it to the back of your phone. So if this is something you want to have with you at all times, you can actually keep your AliveCore in the phone at all times. It's battery. You see a little battery in it, so you can change the battery if it runs out of juice. And I'm pretty impressed by this. This is from AliveCore. Dr. Mom says it's cheaper but not as accurate as a more professional. And, of course, that's the idea. Is this is not a diagnostic tool that a physician would use in their office by any means. And if you've had a heart attack and you've had heart surgery, you should certainly check with your physician before using it. But I think this is something that it's really amazing now that we can do an ECG, an electrocardiogram, with your phone. And this is, of all the things we're about to show you, the only one that's FDA approved. Mm.
All right, so we have two products from a company called Cardio. That's with a Q.
It's funny because you said, I want to review this. And I said, I just bought it. Isn't that funny?
That is funny. So the first one is a scale. It's called the Cardio Base, and we have it there on the floor. That's what it looks like, your regular smart scale. It's $150, which is not cheap for a scale. And then it connects to an app. So I think Brian said that he would stand on it and be our weighing model.
I could do it too if you want.
Do you?
Now, I have a number of Wi-Fi scales at mm-hmm. home, including the Y-Things Wi-Fi scale. And in fact, go ahead, Brian, you can stand on it. My Wi-Fi scale actually tweets. This one's connected to Wi-Fi?
This one, it's connected to, yes, Wi-Fi and connected, so it has to smile.
So you tapped it, it smiles. You don't have to take your shoes off for it, huh?
No, I mean, if you want to weigh less, you take your shoes off.
Well, I'll tell you why. The Y-Things scale, a couple of the scales I have, also they do three measurements. They do weight, but then if you're barefoot, they run a current through you. You don't feel it, but mm-hmm. that will tell it your body. Gourmet, what'd it say?
It gave a frowny face, and that's because it's used to what I weigh, and so it thinks that I've gained
so it's giving you
6 pounds.
No, it says Wi-Fi error. Well, that may be because we haven't set up the Wi-Fi.
Yes, and also properly. On carpet, it's not going to give its best weight. Now, did you feel a little unsteady? That was my, even on the regular, on the floor, it's unsteady. I felt like I was going to fall over a little bit. I don't know why that is. So if you could show my screen, you can see what it looks like, what the app looks like here. So here's what it looks like. That's what Brian weighs. And if he were me, he would have gained 5 pounds in the last 7 days. So that's why the frowny faces. And according to, it has my height.
So
and
it calculates
my age,
the BMI based
and,
on height.
Yeah. So yeah. If I were Brian, I would be overweight, at my age and height. And then you could add notes here. Like this is
so the
Brian.
One thing the Y thing adds with that, and Dr. Mom's telling me it's called impedance, plethysmography. The one thing that it adds is this body fat measurement because it's sending a little current through you, and those are pretty accurate. We use them at the gym and so forth, and that'll give you some idea of your percent body fat as well. Whether that's useful,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it gives this too. So let's see, it did this for me. Yes, let's.
Oh, it does do the body fat.
Yeah, so BMI. So 33%.
That's different.
BMI.
That's
is
not
different.
Body fat. Yeah.
What is the MI?
BMI is a calculation. It's body mass index. And it's a calculation
okay.
based on weight and height. And it's used, it's really, it comes from actuarial tables. Insurance companies use it. So I'm not sure how.
This is body fat. I'm 33% body fat.
I wonder how it knew
4%
that.
4% bone.
So do you have to be barefoot on that?
I don't know. But I entered my height and
doesn't
my age.
Come from that. It actually comes from measuring your body fat.
Oh, like with a calipers?
Yeah. Well, it's not calipers. It's like I said, it's impedance plethysmography.
Oh, of course.
I mean, clearly, you can tell the difference. Now, caliper is the old-fashioned way of doing it, and it requires some skill in measuring it. Mm. If you go to the gym, if you're going to the gym and they give you a thing to hold with two electrical, like metal handles, same technology, runs a current through you, and it guesstimates or estimates your body fat. I don't know how accurate they are based on that current. Mm. That's what some scales do. I don't know if that scale does it.
Well, this will also help you set reminders, too, to weigh yourself, if you need a reminder to weigh yourself. But this, you also have the Cardio Arm, which is also part of this. So Cardio Arm, and I have it, too.
Well, and I've had a number of blood pressure monitors. You can, for $60, go out and go to the drugstore, get an Omron battery-powered blood pressure monitor. The difference with these is they are also Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and so they will, just like the scale, record to your laptop, your computer, or your tablet or a phone. But this is the old bulky Y-Things device. It's a sphygmo mammometer. It's a blood pressure cuff.
You're using a lot of big words today.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Mom's teaching me. So you put it on and you measure it. None of these, to my knowledge, are FDA approved. And as a result, it's like a scale. It's not going to necessarily match what your doctor's. My experience has been pretty close to what it says to the doctor, but my problem is And I think it's true for everybody. First of all, my blood pressure goes up a little bit when I'm at the doctor's. But also, one blood pressure measurement doesn't tell you much. You really want to know your blood pressure throughout the day. In stressful times, when you wake up, it tends to be higher. When you're relaxed, it tends to be lower at the end of the day. And so often a physician will say, well, go out and get a monitor and just monitor it periodically to give us a better idea of how it is going throughout the day. But this one is so big, you're not going to carry that around. You're not going to put that in your purse. But this, the Cardia is. Yeah. You've set it up?
I've set it up, yeah. So it's super easy to set up. So you're just you just opening yours for the first time?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, well, there's a little pull on there that you have to pull, that little cue thing. I think you have to pull that
out.
Did you already pull that out?
No. What is that doing? That's attached. Oh, I see. That's so I can put my arm in it.
And did yours come with batteries? This is a complaint I have about both devices. They're regular AAA batteries, and they take a ton of them. I think the Cardia scale takes like 9 AAA batteries.
Yeah. You hate to have to put batteries in your scale.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I mean, it also, you can look at it this way. It's like not another thing you have to charge on your
That's true. I would love to see these be lithium ion, but I bet you they would become big and bulky and heavy as a result. So.
Okay. So there is a little tab that you had to pull out. I've already
pulled it out. Yeah, that allows you to put it on your your arm, right?
And then it pairs, so.
I'll let you do it.
Okay. We'll see. I do kind of want to compare our blood pressure. Do you have good blood pressure?
I don't. I'm on medication for high blood pressure. It's one of the reasons I'm aware of this particular subject.
So here is, if you look at my phone, you can see I'm going to start.
Now, a good one was going to tell you where to place your arm, what to be doing. For instance, you want your feet flat on the floor. You'd like your arm at heart level. You want to make sure you carefully place the cuff. There shouldn't be any fabric or cloth impeding. So you want to follow those instructions to get an accurate result as closely as you can.
Okay. So here it says pairing request. I'm going to pair it. You can start.
Ah! All right. So I should try this with the...
Oh, is it yours doing it?
You turned mine on.
It's measuring your blood pressure.
You took mine on.
That's interesting. It paired with yours instead of mine.
That's good. It paired fast.
Yeah. So that's your blood pressure.
Yeah? Wow.
If it's going to... How's your sis over your
So
DIA?
What it does, and one of the reasons it uses so many batteries is because it's got to inflate this cuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the doctor does it too, right? And then slowly let the air out, and they measure the systolic first, and then they're going to measure the diastolic. And I'm high. That's high.
Mm,
see this
you
red?
Are high.
Yeah. And, but that's, and by the way, the pulse rate matched the one on the ECG.
What does your Apple Watch say your heart rate is?
Well, if you must know, I don't know. You know what? don't I have to tell it to do that?
There's an app with a little heart.
Yeah, but I it'll have to wait for a second while it measures it.
So that's interesting that it paired with yours and not mine, since it already had paired with mine. But now you get to give away your blood pressure.
For you.
So if you show my screen, you'll see that you can add a note. So it's a location, so it knows you're at work. So this is your blood pressure at work. So versus if you're measuring your blood pressure at home.
And that's the kind of thing you want to know. You want to know time of day, work. You'd like a little diary that you could say, and this was during a program.
Home, work, vacation.
Yeah, this is great.
Doctor.
This is great. And it's like your weight. You don't want to be obsessive about it. It may be not exactly the same as you'd get at the physician's, but it gives you some idea relative of what when your blood pressure goes up, when it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give your physician a much better idea of kind of your overall blood pressure. This says 95, so it's very close.
Yeah, pretty close. And then it has a history again, so you can measure. That was mine earlier. And what else does it do? This is a big calendar. Again, reminders. Remind yourself to take your blood pressure. Graphs. It gives a pretty detailed information here. So it says you are in grade 2 hypertension. You're in danger of grade 2 hypertension.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Again, one reading doesn't do it all. So I just had a cup of coffee. I'm doing a show. That's why my heart rate is elevated. So that's why you want to do it a number of times in a number of different ways and so forth.
We should just wear these around all the time.
Well, but the thing I like best about this is that it's so compact.
Yeah.
And it's easy to carry around. And so you're not going to carry something like this around. Even an Omron blood pressure meter is going to look like this with a thing attached to it. It's kind of nice. And I like the fact that when you've tied it to your smartphone, it automatically gives you a record, a journal of this. And that's the kind of thing you really want. Not just one reading, but as many readings as possible. So we just fold it up like this. That's kind of nice. It fits
in a really nice box.
Yeah.
And I guess it comes with batteries, since yours does already had batteries. in it.
That's the weirdest thing ever. Did I accidentally take yours? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so, because I don't remember putting batteries in it either. I'm pretty sure there's no way to charge it besides the batteries.
It must come with batteries. Yeah. It requires a phone with Bluetooth, iOS 7 or later, or Android 4.4 or later. And it works with the Apple Watch, apparently, as well as Android and iOS. So, and this was inexpensive. It was under $100, right?
Let's see. I have that.
How much was the
notes.
Scale?
The scale was 150. This is 100.
Okay. Not bad. Again, these are, you always consult your physician, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most physicians would say, yeah, it's not a bad idea. Don't get obsessive about it.
Mm-hmm.
But one blood pressure reading at a physician's office is not usually sufficient to tell what's going on. They'd like to see it over a period of time in a different situations.
Exactly. Okay, my next gadget is sort of a health gadget, but I'm stretching it a little bit.
It's kind of cool looking.
This is called the Betty Glow.
The Betty?
Betty.
Really? Betty Glow?
B-E-D-D-I. It's from Witty, W-I-T-T-I. And they name a lot of their things with the double consonant I at the end. It connects to Bluetooth. As you can see, it does not have the correct time, and I'm not sure why that is. But it is connects to an app on my phone, the Betty app. Let's find the Betty app. There it is. So this is health in terms of, you know, getting enough sleep. We've talked about sleep apps before. This is just, it's a Wi-Fi connected alarm clock. It doesn't do much else, except you can order an Uber with it if you want.
I'm late. Get me a car, quick.
And you can play Spotify or Apple Music. So it has
not,
all these.
Not Lyft, just Uber.
Just Uber.
That's
yeah.
So weird.
Just Uber and, yeah, just Spotify and Apple Music.
So how does it measure my sleep?
It doesn't measure your sleep. It just helps you sleep with this little nice glow here.
Okay. So it's an internet-enabled alarm clock.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. That's pretty.
Isn't that a nice glow?
Okay. I don't think that would go over well in my house.
What about white noise? Do you like white noise?
White noise is very helpful.
Okay. That's healthy, right?
Well, it helps mask, you know, hotel noises, things like that.
Not sure why it's not playing the white noise. Oh, there it is. But that's coming from my phone.
No, it's coming from this.
Oh, it is?
Oh, God, somebody woke up. So does this wake you up slowly, too,
yes,
with the light?
Yes, that's what's healthy about it. It wakes you up.
I knew there was something.
It wakes you up slowly in the time that you need to wake up. Okay, I'm going to turn the white noise
off. So this is going to get brighter and brighter?
Yes. And you can listen to the radio with it, too.
It's the Witty Bitty.
And get your traffic data. Okay, come on. Stop doing the white noise. Oh, yes, it wakes you up at the proper time, slowly, like the sun is rising.
That's neat.
This is $50.
Not bad.
And you need a smart... Yes. And you can customize these buttons any way you want to.
You know what I like? Actually, I really like? You can dim everything. So I sleep best when there's not even a... I don't like having a clock display. You can even dim that from darkness entirely. So you can control... I don't know why. This bright light. You can control how much is output by that, which I like that.
Yes.
So when you're sleeping at night, that's completely blank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because you shouldn't have that clock.
Any light's
at
bad,
night.
I think.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else did I find about this? You can charge your smartphone with it too at the same time. So there's USB ports at the back. So if you're ever looking to, you know, you need another.
I like that.
Yeah, and there's an auxiliary in as
I
well.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody still use a clock radio?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't.
Yeah. But, I don't either.
Yeah.
I have my Amazon Echo wake me and play music and all of that stuff.
I do that. That's why I found this to be a little bit underwhelming, because I do have, it's not going to talk to me. It's not going to...
It's cheaper than a Dot.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, isn't a Dot around $50?
A Dot is $50. It's not cheaper than a Dot, but with a Dot, you'd need speakers. So it's cheaper in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True. So this is the Witty Betty Glow from Witty.
Witty Betty Glow. Nice. I'm out of things.
Okay, I'm not out of things.
You got more?
These are my, I've talked about these before, but it's worth it because I still love them so much. They're the Jabra Sport Bluetooth headphones. These are my go-to headphones for running or working out of the gym. And, you know, I just got the AirPods and I like them just fine at my desk. But if I move anywhere around, they're going to fall out. I tried running with them. It was a huge joke. But these stay in my ears and they have great sound and they're Bluetooth. They have really easy controls that you can access on, off. They pair really easily. And they come with an app that you can download an app where you can track your runs and track your exercise, which I do. And I really, that's what I like the most out of it. So it tells me where I run. I can set a goal. Let's see if I can show you what it'll show on my last run. History. Here's my history. So I have two runs here, and it tells me my average heart rate during the run. It tells me the duration of the run. It tells me my training effect. The workout was very intensive for you. She also will say that. The other thing, this has a heart rate monitor in the ear, so that's how it helps develop, you know, helps tell you which, how many
calories.
That's
cool. So yeah. I want to see more of that.
Yeah, so it's an in-ear heart monitor. I don't know how accurate it is, but that's how it tells calories and heart rate and intensity and pace. And it goes into a lot of detail. So it'll tell you like what mile, you know, per mile, what you were running and speed. And she has a very nice voice and she will tell you what your speed is per mile. And you have a little map of where you ran, which I'm okay showing you because I'm moving, so I don't live there anymore. So if you want to stalk me, you'll be stalking someone else there. And a detailed heart analysis. And it has little workouts that you can do. So cardio workouts, it'll do, you can, it gives you the exercises you can do. So it'll do a little cardio core, like high knees running, rest, squats, rest, push-ups, rest, plank, butt kickers.
High knees running?
High knees running.
Oh, I thought you said high knees running.
High knees running.
A new kind of running I wasn't aware of, but I could use.
High knees running is good for your high knee.
Okay. It would be, wouldn't it?
So Jabra Sport Pulse Plus. Pulse.
That's neat that it does the heart rate. Is that? Yeah. I've never seen any. What the promise was kind of these in-ear monitors, mm-hmm. is that they might be able to do a lot of the readings besides heart rate, but you know, other things as well. By the way, apparently my heart rate has gotten much better. It's down to 69.
Oh.
So I've calmed down.
You have. Well, that other thing wasn't working, so that was...
That raised my blood pressure, too, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Mine was 104 a second ago. I don't know what was going on there.
Oh, I'm back to 91.
Oh, goodness.
See, as soon as you... It's like Schrodinger's cat. Mm-hmm. I'm either dead or I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're dead.
I think I'm not dead at this point.
I've got one more.
Yeah,
let's
see.
This is the Pear training system. Have you heard of Pear?
No.
The only thing,
P-E-A-R, like the
P-E-A-R.
Fruit.
The only thing I don't like about this is the headphones are not, they still require a headphone jack, which, as we know, I do not have. But you don't have to use the whole system. This is a chest strap. And chest straps, they say, are the best way to measure your heart rate when
Absolutely.
You're exercising.
Yep.
It's closest to your heart. That makes sense. So this comes with the whole system. This is the chest strap that has these little things that stick to you, and then it pairs with an app.
Do they really stick to you?
Well, kind of when you start to sweat, they don't, like, it's not like adhesive or anything,
right.
But it's suction. Okay. So it doesn't slip around.
Right.
Because have you ever used a heart rate monitor when you're
many
exercising?
Many times. Yeah.
Like, it's a pain
the polar heart rate monitors you put right there. Yeah.
But if they disconnect in the middle of your run or whatever, then you get no credit, and it's all about the credit.
Are these the standards so that if you were on a treadmill that had a heart rate monitor that would
that
sense
you can hook it up into that?
There is a standard, you know, that some mm-hmm. I don't know if these are Polar standard or not, but
that's a great question,
because
I've only used it with the app. So it comes with the headphones that if you're
and what are the headphones for? Does it play a beat to you or something?
It talks to you.
What does it say?
It encourages you or tells you if there's workouts included in the Pair system. So it'll say high knees running, for example,
and you'll do that.
Yes.
Nice. So this would be, if you wanted to do a 7-minute workout or something like this, it just could walk you through it, and you'd also get the heart rate monitor.
Right.
That's cool.
But it also is great for, it's I don't know if it's necessarily designed for running, but it has a lot of running workouts, like if you're training for a 10K or training for a marathon.
Nice. It says running to mountain biking to strength training to yoga. So they have hundreds of workouts. So there really is quite a bit of stuff. Kettlebell, mm-hmm. spin. That's neat.
Yeah. And
how much is this?
The system costs $60.
Not bad.
So
not
that's bad headphones, chest monitor. Strap.
Yeah.
And then the workouts themselves are in-app purchases, but you can be a member for $30 a year and get unlimited workouts.
It also says it will adjust your workout so that the right level of intensity. So it might say speed up.
Right.
Get working.
Exactly. Encouragement. Pyramid
I like this.
Intervals.
Are you going to use this, you think?
I've used it. I used it in the past a little bit, but I can't really use it anymore because of the headphones. I probably could use it with my Bluetooth.
That's a little
headphone.
Frustrating,
but
isn't
you,
it?
But you should use it.
I don't have headphones either on my iPhone.
Oh.
And as you can see, this new Android phone I've got here doesn't have headphone
it
jack
doesn't
either.
Doesn't have anything
so
either.
They're disappearing fast. This
they
has
are.
A Type-C connector on the bottom. So.
Well, you could use your
my
own
Pixel's
headphones
still
with it.
Still has headphones.
You don't
so
need
this will work
them.
With Android as well
yes.
as iOS.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, maybe I will get a pair of these. Mm-hmm. That looks pretty cool. Bluetooth 4.
It works with your Apple Watch 2. So the pair.
It'd be nice if
system.
These would work with the AirPods. I wonder if they
do can. Your AirPods stay in when you exercise?
I noticed yours do not. Because
yes.
you had a picture of them on
right.
the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exercise, so I'll let you know when I do.
You exercise in front of the TV. In your exercise room, right?
Yeah, so I don't wear headphones there. And at the gym, I have a trainer, or I usually don't listen. But when I've used a treadmill at the gym, they haven't fallen out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't run on the street or anything like that. So, but that's where they would fall out, because you're, you know.
Yeah, and then your ears get sweaty. And
right. I try not to get sweaty when I work out.
Yeah.
I find that unsightly.
Yeah, then you're not doing it right. So all
this
of these.
This is neat. I like this. I might get these. That's great.
So
I think heart rate monitoring is the single most important thing you can do while you're working out. Okay. I can't wait till they can tell you things like how much oxygen you're using, VO2
Max. Oh, VO2
maxes.
Max. Actually, my Jobber Sport can do the VO2
the
Max.
The one in your ear
yes.
will tell you VO2 Max.
Yeah, you do a little test. I don't know if it, you know, it's, again, it's not
it
FDA.
Should be in theory because, you know, the blood membrane there, the membrane to your is very thin.
Yeah.
It might be able to monitor that by taking mm-hmm. a picture of it. I don't know.
Yeah, you do a little training thing and
nice.
It tells you what your VO2 Max is.
Wow, that's
so,
these.
The Jobber Sport.
And how are these? They don't fall out?
They don't ever fall out.
Because they
never
they
well, they go all the way in the ear, and they're you know they're not great. You can't hear a lot, so don't run in a busy area.
Yeah, you can't.
Them.
In other words, you can't hear traffic
them.
Behind you and things
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, lady, get out of the road. You can't
yeah,
hear that.
I don't hear yeah. that.
That's maybe not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. So okay, so you have a workout room, right?
I have
and you're
a,
watching
we call
things.
It a gym.
A gym. A home gym.
A home gym.
And you're downloading things probably pretty far away from your router.
Actually, this was the single most important reason we got a Euro router because Lisa would be in the gym saying, I don't have Wi-Fi because it's kind of a distant part of the house. Well, our house is all on one floor. So we don't have the issue of up and down stairs and stories, but we have it spread out. Look, at almost nowadays, almost everybody has trouble with Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi used to be this really great thing, and then everybody got it. And now that everybody has it, you've got congestion, you've got noise. We're doing more with our Wi-Fi, too. We're transferring so much more data. How about instead of a Wi-Fi router, your old router, it's time to update it and get a Wi-Fi system. No more buffering, no more dead zones. It's Wi-Fi that's smart. It's so smart. It blankets your entire home. And, by the way, it's beautiful, too. It's kind of a very appropriate for Apple people. Here, I have an Eero right here. The Eero system, we ended up getting 5 units. They say each of the units, they sell them in individual packs of 2 or 3. Each individual unit is good for about 1,500 square feet. So figure out how big your house is. They're very attractive. They have a little blue light, but you can even turn that off in the software. It's all controlled by software on your iPhone, your iPad, your Android device that tells you everything you need to know. On the back, there's 2 Ethernet connections. One goes to your cable modem or your DSL modem. If you want to drive wired devices, I have this connecting to a small switch for my home theater, for instance. I don't know if you can use the USB to connect a hard drive, but one of the things I do know is they've really overbuilt this. They put more RAM in it, more processor than they needed, and I bet you that the USB port's like that too. It's for future use because they want to be able to upgrade this, and they do all the time. Your Eero, when you first install it, will take a look at your network, will do what it can to improve your network as it learns how you use it. Firmware updates do more. They actually just did the Mesh 2.0 update, which made it even more amazing. So it's hard to explain exactly how this is different than a Wi-Fi router, but let me see if I can try this. Your Wi-Fi router is, you know, it's like us having a conversation here. I can speak in a normal tone of voice. You can hear me. What if we went into a crowded bar where there were other people, other Wi-Fi routers, and they're talking too? That's what it's like in your house. The problem is, up to now, the way most Wi-Fi router companies work, they just turn up the volume. But if you're in a bar and everybody speaks louder, it doesn't make it easier. It makes it worse. Now it's just really noisy and still not working. So the Eero is smart. Instead of getting louder, it's going into the rooms. It's going into the parts of the house where you are. They talk to each other. There's automatic handoff as you move around. It will automatically change channels and even bands. It's a tri-band router. It'll even change bands to work great. Maybe it's dual band, but it'll change from 2.4 to 5 gigahertz automatically to work best with wherever you are. It is remarkable. Plus, you have all sorts of great things like parental controls. You can do that with your Amazon Echo. I have set up all of Michael, our 14-year-old's devices, right? So I can say, Echo, pause Michael's internet. And then the howl begins. The internet's down. Go to bed. The internet, go to bed. But mom and dad still work. And by the way, he can't shout at the Echo, hey, Echo, turn Michael's back on. You have to do that in the password-protected app. You can even check how your internet is when you're not home. It'll give you bandwidth metrics. It'll tell you what devices on your network. It's the next generation of Wi-Fi. It's currently rated 4.5 stars on Amazon, 750 reviews, 1-year warranty. They're celebrating, you know, their first birthday. It's a year old. It's the original, mesh Wi-Fi networks. And you can now, they've lowered the price permanently, get a 3-pack, which is what most people will start with, for $399. That's $100 off. $299 for a 2-pack. That's all you'd need maybe in an apartment. That's $50 off. Eero is Eero. You can get it at Eero.com, Eero.com, or Best Buy or Amazon. And now to celebrate their first birthday, prices have been permanently lowered for the best Wi-Fi network ever. Eero! Try it today. And we thank Eero so much for making it possible for you to stream us in your house without buffering.
Yeah. I've just one piece of news, and that is that the chorus is growing against the curved screen for the iPhone 8. What do you think? Do you think they're curved or no curved?
I don't know. You know, we don't know a lot really about the iPhone 8. We know that Apple has put a reservation in for 160 million OLED screens from Samsung. So I do credit that there'll be an OLED screen on at least one of the new iPhones. Maybe not all of them, right? There might be a high-end one and then one or two other lower-end ones. But there'll certainly be at least one with an OLED screen. And one of the features of OLED is you can do what Samsung did with its Galaxy S6 Edge and S7 Edge and its Note Edge, is you can, instead of stopping at the edge of the screen, you can curve around it. That's purely cosmetic. There is no real advantage to it. Samsung tries to put additional information on the side here, but it's dopey. I always turn that off. Your fingers get in the way. So, in my opinion, it's pure aesthetics. And Apple's going to have a gorgeous phone no matter what, right?
I think so.
Don't they make the best-looking phones? Yeah. So, I'm not too worried about whether it has a curved or not. I think Apple will figure it out. It's not like you're losing some functionality.
Right. And you, I mean, it's more expensive. The curved, like the flexible glass is more expensive.
It's also much more fragile. I mean, think about it. You put a case on a phone, you can at least protect the edge on a normal phone. But if it's curved, you have to have the case kind of be away from the curve. My daughter has my Galaxy S7. It took her 3 days to crack this screen because it's just not as protected, right?
It's in a case. 3 days is pretty good for her.
You know what? Her last iPhone... We got her a really powerful, you know, case, but she never cracked it, never broke it. It got stolen, unfortunately.
Oh.
So I said, well, you're Android from now on, and she's not happy about that.
Mm.
But when you break them, what are you going to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First one's free. After that's Android. Okay,
that's punishment, isn't it? Man, I'm a terrible father. Sorry, kid, you're Android from now on. Better be careful. It could be Windows Phone next. BlackBerry. Actually, I gave my son a BlackBerry.
Did he want it? Like retro?
No. He was in Barcelona. Phone got stolen.
Oh.
I said, well, I don't have another iPhone I can spare you, but I'll give you a BlackBerry Priv. That lasted, he said that got stolen too, like 3 days later. I don't know what happened.
All right, we got email. Kids. Mike from Tucson says, on the last iOS Today, you and Leo were discussing USB charging for wall sockets. While it would be handy to have it in the wall, I have created a charging drawer.
Yes.
The charger is a 5-port USB charger from Anker. They also make 10-port as well. As the devices get charged, the cables can stay in the drawer and closed. At the end of the day, open the drawer and plug in everything in. I just drilled a small hole in the back of the desk drawer to plug in the charger. And he sent us a picture also of his charging station, which his charging drawer. So there it is. That's the drawer. Yeah.
Great minds. I did exactly the same thing. And I did it in my bedroom because Lisa was complaining about the lights, the LEDs that blink. So I took my my bedside table has a drawer. I drilled a hole in the back. I actually even used an Anker. Multi-port USB charger. You put that in there. You take the power cable out through the back, plug it in. When you close the drawer, you can't see any lights. Everything's in there. It's a great way to go. And isn't it ironic now that we need so many chargers?
Yeah, it is crazy.
One is not enough.
I have two of those Anker 10-port.
They're so great. I know.
Two. So,
when I
yeah.
travel, I pack like 18 USB ports. There's a ton of them. There's a good reason to do this, by the way. More and more you're seeing hotels have USB ports. They'll mm-hmm. be built into the, you know, the office area or by your bed. Do not use the USB ports. Don't take USB from strangers. There's always the risk that when you plug in your device to a USB port that you're getting more, you're getting something like a virus instead of just power.
You mean those ones on the desk?
Yes. Do not use those. Bring your own charger, plug it in the wall, or if you insist, get a special USB cable that's charging only. Remember, USB transmits data, mm-hmm. and lightning, it's perfectly possible to have, plug into something malicious that can inject something onto your devices. So use a charging-only cable if you have to. Better, though, to bring your own USB charger. Huh. There's a tip for you.
Yeah, that is a good tip. I have a Belkin USB. It has two regular plugs, two USBs, and it's a rechargeable battery. So you plug it in, and it's a portable
battery.
Isn't
that battery. Nice?
Yes.
That's handy.
I love it from
love
Belkin.
That.
Yes. Yeah. All right, here's a question that you might not be able to answer, but if you don't, then hopefully you can answer it. Human chess writes, I've been having a problem when someone keeps trying to sign into a device using my Apple ID. It usually happens on the weekend. If I'm watching something on my third generation Apple TV, it knocks me out of what I'm watching all the way back to the home screen, and I have to go back in and restart what I was watching. They will try twice within a couple of minutes, and then when I don't allow them to sign in, they wait 15 to 20 minutes, and then they try again. A friend said I might want to change the email address associated with my Apple ID, but I don't want to lose any of my in-app purchases.
Oh, that's really interesting. So what they're doing, what I guess he's getting is that 4-digit code, right? If you try to log in, but that tells me somebody has your password in addition to your email address. I could guess your email address, mm-hmm. and I tried to log into your Apple ID, it would say, what's the password? I would enter a password. It would just say no. So if you're getting that pop-up that says, okay, somebody's trying to join your account, here's the 4 digits, that means it's somebody who not only knows your email address, but knows your password. So first thing to do, change your password. I would also, I don't know if you have two-factor turned on. That might be actually what you're getting. If you do, that's good. Keep that on. That's what's kept the bad guy from occupying your Apple account. But you're hanging by a thin wire here. Change your password. I'm pretty sure that's the only way you would get interrupted. Because if I log into your ID right now and I type the password, it's going to go, you know how it goes, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything to you. It's not going to pop up something to you. Here's one other thing. If you may have it set up that your email notifies, gives you a notification. So if there is a bad login, Apple will send you an email saying, you try to log in. Maybe you have your email sending you notifications or something else that's pulling you out of what you're doing. But that 4-digit number or 6-digit number that pops up when you try to associate a new device to your Apple account, that only pops up if somebody has your email and password. Mm. Now, if it's your kids and they have your password, tell them knock it off.
Okay. So if you change your password and this still happens, the second part of the question is...
Well, should he change his email? No.
Change his Apple ID.
Yeah, Apple's funny about that. don't.
Well, ScooterX has a link to Tech Radar that says how to switch to a new Apple ID and keep all your purchases.
Yeah, good luck. Okay.
I had to switch my IDs, my Apple ID once, and all the movies I had are gone. All the music I had is gone.
I guess in theory you could call Apple and have them transfer it over. I'd have to read that article. I'm not sure how they think that you could do that, but mm-hmm. Apple's funny about that. And you know why? The record industry doesn't want people doing that, mm-hmm. right? They don't want you to just say, well, here's all. Because otherwise I could say, I changed my Apple ID to Megan at twit.tv. Could you just move all my records and TV shows over there? That's exactly what the record industry and the movie industry doesn't want you to do. So that's why Apple is not going to. It's tough to do that.
Yeah.
You have to really talk somebody into helping you out, I think.
Yeah. Junior 415 says it might be a neighbor with an Apple TV. That's my experience with this issue.
Well, if you're on an Apple TV, if you're on an Apple TV.
Like a neighbor's trying to connect to Bluetooth with their Apple TV.
Yeah, I mean, you could turn off AirPlay on your Apple TV and you wouldn't see that. If that's what's happening, somebody's trying to AirPlay to your TV, just turn off AirPlay in your settings. And that way you won't get that pop-up. Maybe that is what's happening.
Because what if, like, you're in an apartment and you both have your Apple TV
that's what's
stuck
happening.
Like this, and then they're both aiming their... Because, you know, you don't have to aim your Apple TV.
No, that's right. It's RF. So that could be it. So that would make sense, yeah. So turn off AirPlay, and that shouldn't happen, right?
Yeah. Or just make your neighbors switch to Chromecast.
That would be an interesting way to mess with somebody. So what you do is you're sitting on your laptop, your Macintosh, or you're sitting on your iPad, and you want to... AirPlay it to your TV mm-hmm. set, and you see the TV set, you'd have to be on the same network for that to work. I don't think your neighbor could do that
to you. Maybe you are on the same. Maybe they are on the same network.
That's bad. Okay, more things to change. Change your network password.
Yeah, maybe.
And if you don't have one, get one.
Yes. All right, here is a cautionary tale. Are you ready for a cautionary tale from Wayne Tanaka in Ridgecrest, California? He writes, after I updated my iPad, I had to re-sign into my iCloud account. After getting my verification code, I got an Apple iCloud notification on my iPhone that someone was trying to log into my iCloud account from Phoenix, Arizona. Remember, he lived in Ridgecrest, California. He says, of course I panicked and I denied permission. Then I changed my iCloud password on my iPhone and my MacBook Pro. I again tried to log into my iCloud account on my iPad. This time I completed my login and got the same warning. Confused, I ended up calling AppleCare. It took the follow-up call from the AppleCare senior advisor who verified that the message I was getting is part of the two-factor login process. The location on the warning message came from the regional hub for Mediacom, my cable provider in Phoenix, Arizona. Talk about being confused.
So this is a general problem that everybody should be aware of, having to do with IP address geolocation. So sometimes a device will figure out where you are via GPS. That's the most accurate. But even if you turn off, if you have GPS on your iPhone, for instance, and you turn off Wi-Fi, Apple will say, well, you know, it'd be more accurate if you use Wi-Fi as well, right? Because it's doing geolocation based on not merely the GPS, but what Wi-Fi signals it can have. If you're on a computer and you're surfing somewhere, you have an IP address. In many cases, services, like in this case, Apple's two-factor authentication, will notice where you are and figure it out based on, it'll have your, only thing it has is your IP address, but it'll say, oh, that IP address, in this case, Mediacom, that's in Phoenix. That's because that's where Phoenix, where Mediacom is, not where you are. That's where your internet service provider is. Frequently, this will happen when people with Sprint phones will be in Kansas City or people with Verizon phones will be in New York City. It's because IP address geolocation is poor. It doesn't work very well. You get the same kind of error messages from Facebook. Remember, Facebook will also say somebody just logged in from Phoenix, Arizona. Was that you? So it's, you know, the first time this happens, it's confusing. But from now on, when you see Phoenix, you'll know, oh, that's my aunt's, because that's where it thinks. That's the geolocation for Mediacom internet addresses. They're all in Phoenix, okay? It's actually a big problem. There's a family that lives in the middle of the country in Kansas. And some of these geolocation databases, if it looks at an internet address and says, well, I don't know where that is, it's in the U.S., will assign it a location at this family's house, which happens to be in the center of the United States. Well, it's here. And this poor family has had all sorts of things happen to it. It was a great article from Cashmere Hill wrote it. You know about it then.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor family, there have been toilets left in their driveway. There are people come up the path and say, you have my iPhone. It's because Find My iPhone found an IP address, geolocated it to this poor family in Kansas because it didn't know really where it was. It just knew it was in the U.S. So do not rely on IP address geolocation. This is a great warning. Somebody just logged in from there. But before you panic, because I've done the same thing. Yeah, I'll tell you my story. I was trying out a VPN and Tor service to anonymize your access, right? So no one knows where you're coming from. And then I forgot that I had it on, and I logged into my Facebook account. All of a sudden, I got a warning that somebody from Russia was trying to log into my Facebook account. I freaked out. I changed all the addresses, and then I realized, oh, that's me. That's me. Actually, it was Cairo, Egypt. That's me logging in from Cairo, Egypt, because I'm using Tor. So this is just kind of the nature of it. We assume that somehow everybody knows exactly where we are when they're on the internet. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They're guessing based on your internet address.
But that can be confusing for a user. I mean, he said that it's like buried in the, you know, the error message that you get, you know, right. The message that you get.
Well, Gmail does that. If you go to the very bottom of your Gmail, and you should do this if you have Gmail every once in a while, it'll show you recent logins, and you'll see the geographic mm-hmm. locations. And if you've been logging in from your phone, it almost certainly isn't where you are.
Mm.
It's where your phone company's headquarters is.
All right, I got one more email. This is from Bob. He says, lately, I've been trying to wrap my head around the best workflows when it comes to managing most of my work on an iPad Pro. I'm full-time. I'm a freelance writer who is usually handling multiple article assignments in addition to book projects in various stages and even song lyrics. While I've got an iMac, the fact is that much of my work these days is done entirely on the iPad Pro simply because it's always with me. I currently use Scrivener and Mac OS and iOS for my drafts and research. Then I export to Word, submitting to my editors. I've just started working with the app documents inspired by comments in the Mac story in MacStories.net to see if that might help somehow by providing a central location for everything. I'm also looking at
is this guy getting paid by the word.
I'm also looking at DevonThink to go as a repository for web clippings, notes, emails, email attachments. But it's fairly costly, about $22 for the pro iOS version. And I can't help wondering if it would really be better than Evernote, to which I already subscribe. I'm also paying for Dropbox storage, which I primarily use as backup storage between devices. So I looked up, you've used DevonThink?
Love DevonThink.
It looks like it's $14.99 now. So.
Yeah, but there's a subscription, I believe.
Oh.
So that's DevonThink to go. So here's the deal. This is a very personal thing. Every work writer has a different workflow. Andy Inako loves Scrivener. One of the things that Scrivener lets you do is have your notes on one side and your text on another. If you're writing a book based on research, a script based on research, you can handle that. DevonThink is kind of the same idea. It's a database of all your notes, your clippings, your research. It's a place you can dump everything. It has much better search capabilities and organizational capabilities than Evernote. But some people prefer Evernote because all I need is a free-form database. They might even use the free Google Keep. It's very personal, and you have to try the different ways of doing it. All of them, I think, are trying to duplicate what writers did when we worked with paper. You know, you'd be typing on a typewriter, you'd have your clippings, your notes on the side there, and that's why the kind of Scrivener, the standard kind of layout is you have notes on one column and then you have your document next to it. It's a little challenging in a digital form to do that. It's, you know, if you're doing it in paper, you can spread yourself around. You can put a map on the wall. You can have strings, pieces of yarn going from one thing to the other. You can do all sorts of crazy things. Digital is not so physical. It's a little bit more constrained. You can only see a little bit of your total research at a time. So that's why people are looking things. DevonThink has a free trial. I would look at DevonThink. There's a desktop plus a mobile. That's the DevonThink to go. It's kind of a suite of tools. And it's been used for years by people who just really want a hardcore research database. Scrivener is the next, is frankly, I think, a great tool. A lot of people use that as well. So
you would recommend, if he works mostly on his iPad Pro, to get the DevonThink on
iPad,
both.
This is the problem you have, because the iPad Pro is such a small screen. I know it feels big, but it's such a small screen, and you can only do two windows. You know, you can do, and so to me, an iPad Pro is a very limited thing for this kind of research and writing. You know, However, if you wanted to use the iPad Pro as a side and write on your desktop computer, then I think DevonThink would be a really good tool. And because it does synchronize with your desktop, it might be the right thing for that. But this is so personal. You know, you just have to figure out what works. What, you know, you don't want it to get in the way of your flow, but you want to be able to keep all your research available and to hand and easy to find. So it's a very personal thing. If you're already using Scrivener and that's not quite right, I would look at Devon. Devon's amazing. They've been doing this for a long time.
And Evernote, how would you compare the two?
Evernote is very, compared to that, it's very simple, just searchable note database. I don't think for that particular tool, particular purpose, is as good a tool. Both Scrivener and DevonThink are designed for research and writing. Mm. Like if you're a college kid and you're doing a paper, right? You have all your sites, all your books, all your notes. You've been to the library. You know, when you and I were in school, we'd probably have that stuff arrayed on the table around us. You probably still do with your bullet journal and your obsession with handwriting.
I know, my analog lifestyle.
You know, you might have file cards. I mean, we're trying to find a way, and it's not a perfect fit to do this digitally. And an iPad makes it even harder because it's just a small screen in such a limited space. I mean, there are other programs. I think DevonThink would be the one to try out anyway, if you're not happy with Scrivener.
All right. It's AppCap time.
Is it time for our hats?
It's time for AppCap. This is the time in the show where we wear hats.
And because it's almost Thanksgiving.
Yes. Well, because we were talking about health and scales and eating. I think that's what Burke, our chief hat officer, was thinking about.
I can't decide if I'm a Viking, the Pope, or a turkey head.
I'm pretty sure you're the turkey, because this is what I like to call, sometimes you're the turkey and sometimes you're the chef. Sometimes you're the chef and sometimes you're the bird. You're the bird in this one.
You know, when it comes to Thanksgiving dinner, the cook is involved, but the turkey is committed.
Yes. All right. So we wear hats because it's app cap time. It's time to talk about our favorite apps. And this one, a viewer named Elizabeth wrote to me. She said she heard about a few apps on the Today Show and she wanted to know if they were legit. So first of all, I just really love that she looks to us to see if the Today Show is legit.
Well, we know the Today Show is fake news. So it's good she called us. The serious, credible journalists
it's really,
in turkey hats.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah. What
Matt Lauer is a silly, silly person.
So the app, one of the apps she saw was called the Raise app. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's a gift card, and I had heard about it. I might have heard about it in Consumer Reports. I know it was on this list I have of apps that I want to try.
So go ahead. Tell us
about this. So it's to buy gift cards.
Yes.
For cheaper than they're worth, and to sell your old gift cards if you have a bunch of gift cards sitting around.
Oh, that's neat. So it's like a gift card exchange.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to exchange. I bought one from Target because I needed to do my research. Like, you know, we are real journalists here.
Yeah.
I bought a $10 Target gift card for $9.50.
Oh.
And it was for online only. But so you can just shop with confidence. You can shop now.
That's nice.
You can get, let's see, what should we buy?
Gift cards are really a great way to buy gifts because, you know, it's easy.
Right.
The thing I don't like about digital is you can't, like, put it in an envelope and mail it. You can't, like,
wrap it.
You can't put it in a stocking.
So, but these are pretty good deals. You can get a $500 Amazon gift card for $4.95. You can get, you know, it's not a lot off, but if you spend a lot on Amazon.
It's 1% off.
It is 1%
okay.
off. But let's say you're buying a bunch of $500. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's not.
It adds up.
It's a good value.
Yeah.
I have an iTunes gift card that I wanted to get rid of because.
I like that.
But they don't take. They'll sell them, but they don't take them. Because I don't know. I bought a $50 iTunes gift card for my nephew, and my sister was like, he has Apple Music. Like, he doesn't. What would he buy? You know, he doesn't buy movies.
What do you get kids these days?
Yeah.
They got everything.
Yeah. And what do you buy on iTunes?
Yeah.
You know, they don't. Yeah. Kids don't think they need to own anything.
Sorry, you got credit. Did they give it back to you?
Well, no, I didn't. And I got him something else.
Oh.
I have it sitting around.
I see. So
when's your birthday?
I'll buy it from you.
You will? What do you buy on iTunes?
For $49.95.
Okay. All right. I knew there was a reason for doing this show.
I want a nickel off.
So, yeah, I don't think they're all online. I think you can get, well, they probably don't mail them to you. It's probably, it's delivered to your wallet.
Right.
And then you have a wallet and you can use it. Yes. Here's your wallet.
There's your 1% savings.
Oh, and you create
right
a 4-digit PIN so that no one can see my wallet.
Yeah.
So the Raise app.
Okay. R-A-I-S-E.
Yes. Okay. Like Raise. Like, I'll raise you one iTunes gift card. Maybe that's where it comes from. I don't know. Or I'm getting, you're giving me a raise and it's going to come in the form of this iTunes gift card I give you. I don't know why it's called raise.
We should send this video to the Today Show.
We surely should.
See?
Yeah.
We did this review.
You can always trust. I mean, you can really trust people who will wear hats. That's like this.
We have so much dignity to spare that we will actually give up our dignity on the show for you. That's how much dignity we have.
Yes.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn.
Well, I've always wanted to go to medical school. And since we're talking health, you must have played the game Operation, right?
I must have.
This is Surgical Simulator.
Is that supposed to sound like ER?
Yeah, the phone's always ringing in the ER. Help me, help me. I guess I could answer it. Maybe not. Let's do a heart transplant. How would you like to? So this is Surgeon Simulator. There's Bob. And Bob, fortunately, the nurse has already come and Bob's already been prepped. Ooh. Blood level, look at that. Lost rate, he isn't losing any blood. His heart rate, nice, 72 beats per minute. I say Bob's in great shape. Let's just stitch him up and go home. Oh, no, you really want us to do that? Well, how about if I get some... Oh, God, I dropped the hammer on him.
Oh,
well,
no.
I guess I probably have to crack these ribs anyway, right?
Do you?
Yes, you do. So, oh, how's his heart rate? Oh, his blood levels is going somewhere.
I wish my surgeon could use two fingers like that whenever he's operating on me. I don't think you're supposed to use a hammer to crack ribs.
No? All right, well, let's see what else I got here. That's all I got, man. What is this? Oh, that looks good. That's a drill of some kind. Let's just turn it around and not try to drill with the back end of that thing here. All right, here we go.
Dr. Mom says you use shears.
Shears? All right, let's see if there's some shears here. Don't leave that in the patient, by the way.
I don't think you have
shears. How about that? That's kind of, that's the modern shears. This is what they use in my hospital, the axe. Oops, did I hit him? I think I dropped the axe. Nurse, can you get that axe over there? Let's put the Q-tips back.
Oh, no.
Oh, they're all over the place now. I wish I had a junior mint. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Is that? You think maybe that'll work?
Yes.
That looks good.
That is how I always crack ribs.
I'll just pour some alcohol in there and make sure he's sterile. All right. Now,
that's
here we go.
A bottle of water in case you
Is it? In case
thirsty.
I get thirsty? All right. It's not as easy as it looks. Does it look easy? Oh, poor guy. I'm doing something to his head. Let's get in here. All right. Hammer.
Okay, use the hammer.
Hammer. I don't know what's going on. Okay, obviously I have to go back to medical school.
This is not the way they do it in Grey's Anatomy. I'll just tell you that.
Forceps. Just because I know what those are called. Okay. Time is ticking here. Let's see what his heart rate is. Oh, that did something. I don't know why. Oh, can I go clear and give him... Yeah, let's... Wait, whoa. There's the paddle here. Here we go. Let's see if we can start his heart up. What's that? It's a box. I don't know what it is. Anyway, lots of fun for the whole family. Surgeon Simulator.
I would say maybe not the whole family.
Right there, yeah.
Is this free? Does this cost less than medical school?
Yes. Guarantee you that. I don't know how much it costs. But I decided to buy. I've killed Bob a couple of times. Today is his lucky day. Bob, we're just going to have to stitch you up and say you're good to go, my friend, because get that scalpel out of there before we do, though, right? All right. And what is that? Does he need that? Oh.
That looks like
is that
a
his
kidney?
Heart? Or a kidney?
Liver, perhaps?
I really want to get in there. What else do I have? What does this do?
There are the shears.
Oh, God, I turned off the monitor. How am I going to know how he's doing? All right. Let's get that. Let's try some more. One more time with a hammer.
It'd be awesome if this was real, like you were an actual person.
It might be. For all we know, this is attached to somebody in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's the future.
And that would be the future. And I could be the... I'll be the... Oh, good. There we go. We're getting those ribs out of there. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you know... Throw away the hammer. I don't need that anymore. Now, can I get a lung out? Let's get some of those ribs out. There's some
good.
Pieces in there.
You did it.
I left some pieces in there. Get out of there. What's this? Is this... Oh, I need the hammer back. Where'd it go? Oh, man.
It's on the ground, so I don't think you should use it anymore.
No, that's okay. The whole room is sterile. We sprayed it before we began. There's nothing. What is that, toilet paper roll? I don't think I need that. Or is those? Oh, it broke. Put a little glass in there. Let's just see what happens. His heart rate's 171. Is that? That seems high.
Yeah.
His blood loss is 7 milliliters a second. He's going down. He's stabilized. Thank God.
Oh, good.
So,
good job. You saved his life.
Dr. Mom says only the green areas are sterile. Dr. Mom, it's a game. This is Surgeon Simulator. I hope you've enjoyed this.
I really have enjoyed that. I wish it were in VR, though.
You know, that's inevitably the next step, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like there needs to be...
Well, because Job Simulator, does that have surgeon? It should.
A reset. Let's restart. Let's start this over again.
Okay, well...
And here's some hints, by the way. I should have read the hints. It says, do not... knocking Bob on the side of the head. What? What? You went too fast. Defibrillators could save Bob from... I know that. Watch for the... Oh. Perform a heart transplant. I don't even know where the other heart is.
It was in that box with the Q-tips.
Oh, that's what that was for.
All right. Once again, you've shared a wonderful hour of joy,
hour. Mirth,
iOS.
Mayhem.
We discussed all the things you need to know, from health to stealing your neighbor's Apple TV.
I don't know how this show could get any better, except maybe if we had hats.
We have hats.
Okay.
I don't know how it could get any better.
It's as good as it's going to get.
I don't know how it could get any better. Email me at megan@twit.tv if you have any suggestions for things we could do better or worse.
No, don't. Please. is there a phone number they could call and leave a message? Because I want more voicemails.
Yeah, I want more voicemails,
too. Keep them to 30 seconds. Just say your first name and city, too, at the beginning so we know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah, and we have a number, but I don't know what it is. Sorry.
How many years?
There it is.
Right there.
757-504-IPAD.
757-504-IPAD. That's not a toll-free number, but it's not real expensive. Depends on your phone plan. So call us and leave a message, 30 seconds or less, and ask a question, make a suggestion, mock our hats, whatever.
Yeah, and we love videos. Send us videos,
too. Oh, YouTube. You just put them up on YouTube and then send us the link. That'd be great. Yep. megan@twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. We do the show every Monday at about 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. That's now 20:30 UTC because we are in summertime, even if you're not. So there, 20:30 UTC. Please stop by. Say hi. We'd love to have you in the show, either in the chat room at irc.twit.tv or in studio, email tickets at twit.tv. But if you can't watch on the live stream, do watch on demand. Just go to twit.tv/iOS or wherever you get your favorite podcast. Do subscribe, though, would you please? You don't have to watch them if you subscribe. That's the deal we'll make. Okay? We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye. Give me a hammer.